Hello, 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 hello. Welcome to Offend to Offend, episode 61. The safe place where I'm allowed to speak openly about my criticisms of people and society. I'm your host, Frenice Coupe, and I hope you'll remember that name until your dying days. Let's get into it. Whoa, what is up? What is up? What is up, you guys? Woohoo! How are you guys doing? I'm doing alive. I hope you guys are alive. Hopefully the dead is not listening to my podcast because my ancestors already looked down on me enough. Okay? You hear that? They looked down on me enough and they are very disappointed. You know, I'm just here and I'm surviving. I don't know if you guys remember, I told you last week about a job interview I went to. Thought it went pretty swell. A recruiter emailed me back like, there were an excessive amount of candidates and unfortunately you didn't get it. And what, you know what? I just don't like these basic ass excuses. These companies be giving people, you know. It's good that I had that recruiter there, you know, being the middleman, you know. So it was good having her there and getting some type of reason. But to me, that reason is still vague, you know, and, you know, jobs are hard to find in general. In after college, they're pretty hard to find, you know. It's not easy. I know you guys hear about it all the time, so this is nothing new. But, you know, it's been a struggle to find a decent job after school. And it may be like that for some of you guys, or it may not, because some of you guys are actually doing internships and securing those jobs right after graduation. Well, good for you. You're in the right program. You're in the right position, but it's not like that for everybody. And for most people, we don't find a good job, you know? A lot of people gotta do some extra education, you know, get some certification, do some testing, you know, to find a good job after graduation. And, you know, it's just so unfortunate. So I'd like to dedicate a whole episode to that, but that's not what this fucking episode is about. So don't get ahead of your horses there, because we're still keeping it in a lighthearted educational mood, okay? But anyway, fuck that job. Because, like, they don't know what they're missing, guys. Know your value. And just know, everything happens for a reason. Although I haven't had much success with the jobs I've had after college, you know. I know that they taught me something and they brought some type of value to my resume that I can over-exaggerate for the next recruiter. And then if they ask, have you had success, you know, meeting your sales targets, I can be like, yes, I exceeded it every time. And they have no way of checking or proving that, you know. We just don't need to put those references down, you know. So the job thing. Again, I'm not going to talk about finding a job after college. I'm going to dedicate a whole episode to that later. But yeah, I'm just really frustrated with it. I see why people go to these alternative paths in terms of finding jobs. You know, people joke about, oh, I'm going to be a stripper. I see why people are strippers because they make so much money. And, like, you know, use your natural God-given talents and don't be ashamed of it. Like, you know, who cares? We're in an era where, you know, OnlyFans, having that OnlyFans is just fine. Like, people aren't going to judge you. Charge those subscribers $4.99 a month and, you know, you'll be fine, you know? I accidentally clicked on someone's OnlyFans link the other day. It was $11.99 a month, and I can barely afford the minimum payment on my credit card, but I considered subscribing, you know? I'm like, okay, well, that's a good job. If I consider subscribing, then other people probably subscribe and you're probably making bank off of that. And not to mention the private FaceTimes and private videos you send people for extra, you know? It's just got me thinking. And then I've always questioned those women who, you know, the whole Me Too movement, the women who decided to exchange sexual favors for a spot, an acting spot, or to be promoted. I understand. It's hard being a woman in this field, in any field. So, again, using your God-given talents. Using your God-given talents, and you're just getting up there for a higher salary. So I see it as an investment. So I don't blame those women who sleep with their bosses. I really don't. And let's throw in men too. I'm sure men do that, for those higher opportunities. Let's just be honest. You probably know someone that's done it. I probably might do it. I won't tell you if I do. Gonna sign the NDA for that, okay? Another, profession I don't look down on is prostitution. You have those people that promote the sex workers out there. Yeah, you go, girl. Go do it. You're using your assets, and I can see myself like, okay, this guy's not gonna last too long. Let me get a couple hundred. Just do it without a pimp. Set up a Tinder date, up the age there, and then get your free meal. Ask for money to get back home. Free Ubers. Hey. Free money, hey, $50, hey, I don't blame them. Just make sure you're doing it safely. I don't blame these people for what they do, but one thing I cannot get down with is the people who sell the freaking loose squares on the train. That's really not profitable, and you're just downright annoying. I can't get down with that alternative career path. Also, I would say the drug dealers, but that's not a very profitable business. That's not a very profitable business here. And that's kind of what I'm going to talk about today. It's similar. It's in there. You're probably thinking, Frenise, get to the fucking topic of the episode. No, I'm going to get to it when I get to it. But I want to talk about that. So aside from those alternative career paths, what do you think about when you hear the word job? There are many different types of jobs out there. You have the blue collar workers, the white collar workers, the laborers, the people in business in the financial district. You have those people, what do you think about when you have jobs? What job do you expect to get when you get out of college? What job do you expect if you just have a high school diploma? What job do you get if you get a certain certification? I didn't know it was different categories of jobs besides the one that I listed. You have those sales positions. Sales can be sketchy in some ways. You could sell anything you want. But it's these certain types of jobs that I see often in my job search, and I just wasn't aware that they existed really. And what they are called is MLMs. Have you guys ever heard of that? Multi-level marketing schemes. I hate to add schemes, sorry. Multi-level marketing schemes. Sorry. No, sorry, stop, stop. And I'm gonna explain what that is specifically, but it's a job that say you apply, you get a text right away. Schedule an interview. Oh, okay. Did you even have time to read my resume? You get that text message so fast. You question, like, did the AI even have time to read that damn message? Probably not, because it's automated. It's an automated response. So those are the type of jobs that exist. And then imagine you're applying to hundreds. I don't know. Some people, I'm pretty sure at this point I applied to hundreds of jobs. Hundreds of jobs. And then you get those jobs that reply back quickly. You're like, damn, my resume was that good. They got back to me right away. wake up. You gotta see, baby. Like no. Like no, you're no. We gotta snap back into reality. That's not the case, okay? Those are type of jobs with the high turnover rates, okay? We get that jobs can be hard, but you gotta question it when the turnover rate is pretty damn high up in the sky. Higher than certain folks' Steve Nash's free throw percentage in 2013, okay? That high turnover rate, you gotta question those. You gotta question those without the payment information not listed. Gotta look at those. Gotta look at those jobs, and you gotta question it. You got to see, isn't it MLM? What's going on here? what type of jobs it is. If you guys never heard of it, if you're struggling to look for a job after college, and then this is the first job you get, you know, I just want to give you some detail, insight, because there is some misinformation put out there, and there is a lack of transparency going on these job boards and in the job descriptions, and even that initial call when they describe to you the position. Okay, so I just want to explain to that. I want you to understand what an MLM is. I want you to understand what a pyramid scheme is. I want you to understand all of that before you dive into this field, and before you get yourself into this hole that you can't get yourself out of. Okay, so that's what this episode is about today, and I named it, of course, so smart with the way I name these episodes, named it King Tut. An episode about MLMs and pyramid schemes. Let's get into the 61st episode of A Fan to a Fan, King Tut. Woo, woo, woo. Trying not to get this a long episode because I am recording two episodes today, and they're both going to be related to pyramids somehow, some way. And it's good, it's good. And I'm trying to keep that consistency up because that's how you get the notoriety that you need. And the beast needs to be notarized, okay? The beast needs to be notarized. So who gonna notarize that? You guys are. And that's by consistently uploading every single week. So let's get into this motherfucking episode. Now before I get into these points, before I get into the body yaddy yaddy, let me explain to you what an MLM is, okay? For those of you that are confused, like, and you probably had to pause the episode and look it up so you can be like, oh yeah, Frenise, yeah, you don't have to pretend to be smart. It's okay. This ain't class. This is not your Tinder date you're trying to bone on the first night. So I'll explain to you what an MLM is. And we got the Google pulled up. We got the Wikipedia pulled up so I can explain it to you. Now, MLM, multi-level marketing. Multi-level marketing, also called network marketing or pyramid selling, is a controversial marketing strategy for the sale of products or services in which the revenue of the ML company is derived. Ugh, derived reminds me of derivatives and fuck calculus. Now, okay, the company is derived from non-salaried workforce. Keep in mind, non-salaried workforce selling the company's products or services, while the earnings of the participants are derived from a pyramid-shaped or binary compensation commission system. In multi-level marketing, the compensation plan usually pays out to participants from two potential revenue streams. The first is based on sales commission from directly selling the product or service. The second is paid out from commissions based upon the wholesale purchases made by other sellers whom the participant has recruited to also sell product. In the organization hierarchy of MLM companies, recruited participants, as well as those whom the recruits are referred to as one's downline distributors. Okay, guys, I know you like it when I read you your bedtime stories. Well, wake the fuck up because y'all need to be sleeping during this episode. All right, so I put a little emphasis on the words that when I said emphasis, I puffed out my chest. So you guys know I'm emphasizing over here on my end too. So I emphasize some of the words that the key words that are going to be useful later on throughout this episode. So you can understand the problem with these multi-level marketing schemes and everything like that. So you can get a good idea. So I put that out there for you guys. I had a professor that actually did, he would be reading some shit and then he just, all of a sudden he yells at, you know, certain words, but it would be like the unimportant words. He'd be like, is, and, like what? He would be emphasizing the prepositions. Like, that's not the point of having an impactful speech, young man. Just kidding. He was kind of old. He was very intelligent, but whatever. He was like my only black professor. Oof. That's fine. That's fine. He was cool. Alrighty. So you got a good definition there of an MLM. Now let's get into what a pyramid scheme is, because I know some of you guys aren't from the hood. I'm not either. So you probably don't know what a pyramid scheme is, but I guess when people were from the pyramid refer to pyramid schemes, they're referring to like drug dealers who sell them drugs, okay? So people sometimes use MLMs and pyramid schemes interchangeably, but there is a difference, is a slight difference. So with the pyramid scheme, the main difference is that they are solely focused on recruiting new people to funnel in that pyramid to make that money. MLM, it, you can recruit people, but the direct focus is not just strictly funneling in new members to actually sell the desired products, drugs, bring cocaine, yeah, whatever. Okay, so now you got what that is. Okay, so now we can go over some quick points. Now, like I mentioned, a sign that this is probably an MLM is number one, you see marketing firm, okay? And I don't know, like when I was hearing marketing, I thought, oh, that's kind of cool, marketing, like the billboards, like the social media, yeah, that's cool. Go work in the office downtown and do that and get paid hourly, whatever, it's cool, No. It's this is footwork. It's footwork and not the footwork like get down little mo, get down little mo. It's a different type of footwork, okay? So it's not gonna be like that. So watch out for those marketing, the keyword marketing, 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 and also account executive. Account executive can be ha it can have a useful term for other positions that actually matter besides MLMs, but also those account executive mixed in with that marketing term. Watch out for those. That's probably gonna click that it is one. Also, no salaries listed, commission only. Watch out for that. That's your red flag. I'm probably gonna insert a police siren sound into here. So you wanna watch out for that. Also, like I said, the quick response you get is an automated response. Soon as you fill out that motherfucking application, you about to get a text message. You about to get a text message saying, "Congratulations, you moved on to the next stage, huh? You don't even know my name, and I moved on to the next stage. AI didn't even read that, and you sent me that, okay?" So you wanna watch out for that. These responses are automated. It ain't nobody sending it to you. So don't think you're special. You are special. You special to me. But I mean, unfortunately, everybody don't think you're special. So it can't be like that. It can't be like that. And I just want to wake you up from that. So watch out for those quick responses. Those buzzwords, account executive, marketing. No. Watch out for those, and don't be confused by the location, 'cause I mean I'm like in Chicago, so I'm by downtown area. It's all hustle and bustle. I don't know if you in the middle of Montana listens. Do Montana even have a downtown? But if they do, downtown Montana, whatever. Don't be confused by the location, because it may be like, oh, this is a nice ass area, in the nice ass office building. Whatever, like don't be confused by that, because that's how they also get you. So location doesn't matter. They're gonna try to pull you in with that nice ass location. Don't listen to your heart when it's an MLM texting you. Listen to your heart. Let me not, because y'all not ready for that. Y'all not ready for that remix yet, and I don't want to get sued either. Okay. So again, so with these automated responses, again, it makes you feel like you're some type of special. And like I said, I think you guys are special. Not everyone thinks you're special. Seeing like here's a good example. Say if you're struggling, you're applying to jobs, you're applying to hundreds of jobs, you're not getting a job, and then you get an automated text saying that you're ready for an interview. Just be wary of that, okay? just please be wary of that. Like, and not to say that your credentials don't line up, but just understand, like, no, this may not be the go for you. Also, I would like to emphasize during those interview sessions, they will make you feel like you were, selected or out of like this amazing group of people or whatever. No. You weren't. They're lying. They're really lying. And I will go specifically into my MLM experience and what exactly I had to do so you guys can connect everything I'm saying here. So they really try to make you feel like you're special. And if they do emphasize that a lot, that is a manipulation tactic. It's manipulating you. Okay? I specifically recall the interview of MLM I went to work for. I will not call them out because the feds probably gonna get them before I do. It was this first process. It was just a 10-minute breakdown, five to 10-minute breakdown of explaining the position, and you're like, okay, you made it to the next round. And I'm like, what? Like, all I said was, my name is Fernice. And then they explained what the job was. Oh, so I thought, seemed okay then. I'm like, okay. And typically, in this first call of them breaking down the position or whatever, they do mention direct marketing, where you actually, you gotta be the foot soldier, And I say foot soldier because, again, like drugs, like with the pyramid scheme, the foot soldiers are the ones at the bottom of the pyramid. Those people who distribute the drugs, and those are the people who also make the least amount of money in that pyramid. So you're gonna be the foot soldiers. But keep in mind, this is legal. Pyramid schemes are illegal, but this is the legal form of it. Okay, so they do explain that this is direct marketing, aka your foot soldier. So you got that there, but they don't tell you what you're selling, where you will be going to sell, stuff like that. Is someone calling me? Okay, thank God. No. Okay. So you got that in mind. So after they say you moved on to the next round and you barely said anything, be suspicious of that. And then the next one, you're kind of explaining yourself a little bit, and then you they and then they use big words, making it seem like what you're doing has this, not to say that nothing has a purpose specifically, but they use big words to make it seem like your job is very, has, I don't know, I don't know the words for it. But has a very strong high purpose, is very exclusive, that you're actually helping the community, when in reality you're helping the big boss on the top of the pyramid. And they wouldn't use that word to disguise the actual job description that you're doing. And yeah, so you want to avoid that. You go into a job interview, you want to make sure everything is completely transparent. And in my opinion, that's just not being transparent at all, because I probably wouldn't have fell for it if I knew exactly what I was getting myself into with this MLM. Again, they're vague with the job the description. They never tell you what you're selling till the end. They don't. They don't, and that's the experience I had on the last interview. Yeah, and getting on to that, you do have a third interview, and with all these interview processes, it's going to make it seem like, oh my God, like I've been through this round, and they picked me. So, them having three rounds of interviews is completely unnecessary. I see it as manipulation, because why are you dividing? This is what this job is. And can you tell me a little bit about yourself into two separate interviews? Why are you highlighting the amount of people that got funneled through? Like, oh, we interviewed, we let through 25 people. the second round and we're only picking 10. You were one of the 10. Like, no, like this is not publisher's clearing house. I don't need that. So you want to watch out for that too. Again, just highlighting these manipulation tactics, guys. Just trying to make sure that you're aware here. So with that multi-level thing of interviews, and they just want to make it seem like you're special because you got through these certain all these rounds, No, like honestly, this bitch could be knocked out in one good 20-minute interview. And then they give you a call and it's like, "Oh my gosh, congratulations. We chose you. We picked you. Woo! Yeah." No. Nothing to celebrate, but at the time you're feeling all high, you might you like, "I got a job." What do you got? You don't say, "I got a job." "I got a job." "I got a job." What do you have? "I got a job and I went to 3 rounds of interviews." "Yes, and I'm working in marketing." Marketing just seems like a cool city job, But no, in reality, not all the marketing does. Okay, alrighty. So after that manipulation tactic, I want to get into the actuality of the top, your boss of this MLM, aka the top of the pyramid. Now. So what you doing? What you being a foot soldier? What you doing this direct marketing? Again, it's direct, it's in person. So if you don't like talking to people, if you're shy going up to people, probably not the position for you. Believe it or not, as much as I like to hear myself speak, I am not the type to just go up to people and bother them. I don't like bothering people. In general, I don't like bothering people over the phone. I don't like bothering people in their face. I don't like bothering people in general. Okay, I just stick to myself. I'm a chill person. Like you want, you don't. I'm not a fake person. Can't be fake. Can't put on a fake smile. Can't make a fake voice. I can't do that. What you see is what you get. Like I said all the time, and I will continue saying to the grave. What you see is what you get with me. So again, if you're not a people person, then this is not the job for you. So you're out here, and then certain areas of what you it just depends on what you're selling, honestly. Sometimes you're in those low income neighborhoods, and nothing against those neighborhoods. Obviously, they're in that position for a reason. There's crime there. It's some good people there. Don't get me wrong. Obviously there's good people everywhere, but in a lot of those low income neighborhoods, they're crime ridden. They can be dangerous after certain hours. You will get yourself into certain, situations, being out there. But again, it all depends on what you're selling. And also with these MLMs, they can be linked to certain charities too. I'm not gonna say the specific charities. Not trying to get sued here. And don't get me wrong, they're a good cause for some of them. Great causes. Those would be more so in the, of course, you want to pull people who are in the more affluent neighborhoods or areas where a lot of people would be walking that have money to actually give to you for this. So you have those charities or you have something that you're selling. Or I don't know what the fuck you're trying to sell. Some Avon products. Y'all remember Avon? I was an Avon slut. I had the little cherry blossom body spray. I thought I was the shits with that. The cherry blossom, and then y'all remember the little wet deodorant? No, that deodorant was wet as hell. I do not like the wet deodorant, guys. I don't even like the spray on deodorant. I'm a dry girl. I like the dry deodorant. That I can fuck with, but that other shit, I don't like the wet deodorant. It makes me feel weird and slimy, and I don't like that. Okay, but yeah, so That it just all depends. But I wouldn't even call Avon MLM. That's more so a pyramid scheme, because them bitches were recruiting bitches, okay? They were recruiting people. Another one, y'all know the Herbalife ones? Oh yeah, that's definitely MLM or pyramid scheme. No, the Herbalife, the like weight loss shakes, like bitch, you're not gonna lose weight off of a shake. You know, I'm sorry to break it to you. You're not gonna lose it off of a shake, all right? Or this, I don't know, some African scheme, queen kings, selling the herbal remedies. I'm sorry, it's not gonna cure your tuberculosis. Like, I'm sorry to break the news to you, but it's just not gonna do it for you, child. But anyway. Those were my quick points about, you know, MLMs, you know, point them out, some of the tactics they use, how to identify it. But I will tie this all in a little bow, actually in a big ass bow, because no, we the beast, and we're gonna beast it up and put this in the big ass bow, and you know, just tie everything in a bow, explain to you, you know, give you some advice, of course, give you some of my final thoughts and Fernice's final thoughts, so we can get into that. But first, a quick message from our sponsors. Hey, you guys, calling all women, specifically women in alcoholism. I'm starting a new series, Women in Alcoholism, where I would just have an interactive discussion, interview-like session with my fellow women that are in alcoholism. Because let's just face it, we don't get recognized enough. All of it goes to the men. So if you are definitely interested in a quick conference, not even quick, conversation, interactive discussion with me, discussing your best alcoholic moments, your best alcoholic habits, feel free to give me a message in the DM, and I will call you up so we can have that discussion, so you could be featured in my short series, Women in Alcoholism. Please don't be afraid to reach out. I don't bite, only 75% of the time, but I'm here, I'm ready, and let's get into these interviews, guys. I really do appreciate you. Again, my Women in Alcoholism. Let's go. Interviews will be done at a first come, first serve basis. You have to be a woman, unfortunately, to be considered. Please DM me on my private Instagram, Frenice the Beast. That is FrenEseDaBeast. Thank you so much. Looking forward to speaking with you guys. I really loved our sponsor there. She is such a sweetheart, a sweet, sweet sweetheart. I love her. Yeah, she's such a great, you know, person there, and you should probably marry her. You should probably marry her. But anyway, on to Phrenice's final thoughts, okay? So I'm just gonna be tying it all up in a bow for you guys here, and then I'm gonna go into the position that I specifically was in that wasn't MLM. Okay, so the way how I came upon this position was, again, I didn't know what I wanted to do. As you guys know, got my degree in economics, political science, and I didn't want to do anything with that. Like, honestly, I just want to be a comedian. I want to crack jokes, I want to podcast, I want to hop on stage, and that's all I want to do. But obviously, this is not what dreams are made of. Yeah, you know, it's not. So you have to work an actual job. And I wanted to work in the city because Chicago's a good place for comedy, whatever. So I wanted to be around this area. And then when I did eventually move out, wanted to be closer to, you know, the city. Like I said, be in the city, close to my job, close to spots, whatever. So I didn't know. So I just looked up sales, marketing. I really didn't know exactly what I wanted to do. So I'm like, marketing seems cool, seems chill, and I wouldn't have to worry about the commission burden I would have with sales specifically. Like I said, I always knew that I wasn't the type of person to bother people. I feel like I'm a convincing person. I'm a persuasive person, but I'm not a, again, I'm not the person to hassle you, to bother you. You know, so probably sales is not for me, but I'm gonna keep on saying it for these base plus commission jobs. I'm gonna say sales are for me, you know, obviously. So, I was applying, and then this one of these jobs, they got back to me. Actually, two MLMs got back to me, but the one I was actually interested in got back to me, saying that okay, let's schedule up an interview for, I'm not gonna say the name, marketing firm. I'm like, okay, that's chill. Hop on Zoom. The Zoom call is 5 minutes. Like, oh, what's your name? What do you like to do? Like, oh, fitness, like basketball, like comedy, whatever. Did that. That's what, and then they explain what the company was, explain what marketing, direct marketing was on a PowerPoint format, and that took like 5 minutes. Any questions? All right, well, we'll let you know if you moved on to the second round. Okay, chill, cool. I'm like, oh my gosh, I hope I got it. I hope I got the job. And this is at the point they're like, okay, so there are 25 people interviewing. We're only gonna choose 10 to go on to the second round. I'm like, oh my gosh, I hope I'm one of the 10. That's less than 50%. Yeah, so yeah, I got the message later in the day. Congratulations, you moved on. And I'm like, yes, bitch, yeah, let's schedule this interview. Let's get going with it. So I got into the interview, and then this, I finally got a, hey, can you tell me a little bit about yourself? Explained it in more detail. Why do you feel like you're good with this for the position? Blah blah blah. Explained a little bit, and then just making sure that I understood what direct marketing meant, and stuff like that along with the job. Again, keep in mind, I was not told what I was going to be selling and the exact pay structure per se. And we're like, that's gonna be discussed if you make it to the last interview. And I think they said they were choosing two to three people for this next round, quote unquote round. I'm out of town. Around. Okay, anyway. So the next round. So and then get the message. Congratulations, you go to the next to the final round. I'm like, oh my gosh, like I am a special ass bitch. Like I did this shit. Like I did this shit. You know, I felt all accomplished and whatnot. Get into the final round, and then that's when they kind of discuss, you know, the benefits, whatever what I be getting. No health benefits whatsoever. No health, dental, vision, nothing like that. Nothing along those lines. But they will say like, okay, this time it's gonna be training, and then it's gonna be about, you know, promoting you to was it account executive, and then after that, you're gonna be an assistant manager, and then after you're assistant manager, you could be manager, and you can make this much money a year. So that's what they like to highlight. They don't highlight the bottom. And the key, you know, thing with these MLMs is they encourage promotion, 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 promotion. So the bottom level, they called it a brand ambassador. So I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm an ambassador. And when I think of brand ambassador, I'm thinking about those people who got the fucking sponsorships on YouTube, or those freaking models that Rihanna hires to model her Fenty Beauty. No, bitch, this was not no damn Fenty Beauty. Rihanna wasn't there. Nobody remotely like Rihanna was in that bitch, okay? So your brand ambassador for this week, you know, you're at the bottom of the motherfucking pyramid. And with that role, the pay, I believe, is however much you sell, up to, you know, they're gonna pick a ridiculous amount that nobody ever gets. A thousand, let's just say $1,500, $1,500, and then after 5 weeks, you move up to account executive. What are the incentives for moving up from that in terms of Income, nothing at all. But the thing is, with account executive, you have more responsibilities. You start to have people under you, and with people under you, you have to pay for certain things. Like you have to pay for the gas and transportation, of course, to get to those locations. If the brand ambassadors want something, like, oh, you want some food, let's go out there, you gotta pay for that shit, okay? So there's no direct incentive, there's no income difference for moving on to that next step, and you're stuck there for a little bit. So you in the middle of a pyramid for a bit. So you done stepped up one motherfucking brick. That's it. You went up one motherfucking brick and you down there for a long time. You still on that juicy ass, fat ass part of the pyramid. You ain't to the tippy top of that damn triangle yet. Okay, you still down there. You down there for a while. And then that's when they emphasize point of assistant manager. That's when you're, out on the field less. Okay. So you're learning the back end versus the front end portion of it, but you're still getting out there. You do have a slight you do have an income increase because it's more people under you, and then again, you're learning the position of the manager. So once you get to the tippy top of that motherfucking pyramid of, what they call, I don't even really feel like it's the top, the tippy top. I feel like it's more so closer to the top because it's someone over that manager. You get to the managerial position, you open up your own office, and you make 150 to 200K a year. And then that's like, oh my God, 150K to 200K. And they like to emphasize that, but they don't say everything you have to do to get to that point. Okay, and then how much you have to struggle at that bottom to actually get to that point. Now, I mentioned you're like, oh, Fernice, what were you selling? Were you selling Avon or Herbalife? I was not selling no fucking Avon. What I look like selling fucking Avon, guys? I don't even know selling fucking Avon products. Okay, no. So I was finally told, and I remember this specifically. My memory has been shit now, nowadays, just because of the alcohol consumption. But no, in my mind, just be everywhere. But I remember this specifically, the last interview I had with the manager, and he told me at the end, he's like, "Are you comfortable with helping out low-income communities and giving them phones, helping them out?" And I'm like, yes. And then I came up with some bullshit answer, making it seem like I was compassionate. I am compassionate, but I was like, yeah, I desire to help people because I come from a low income community myself, and I understand how it's important to give people these resources that they need. Blah blah blah, bullshit, 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 bullshit. And they're like, oh, I like that answer. Then I got the call back. You got it. You got it. You got it. You got it. I'm like, ooh, that's cool. But also, I remember it was so weird. It was a sign. It was a sign to me. That day I got off the bus from downtown. I was back in the suburbs. And it was a stand. It was a stand with this one white guy and oh yeah, two white guys actually. And it was like they were selling phones. I'm like, oh, okay. And then he says, "Hey, I like your jacket." I'm like, thanks. I was feeling myself because I thought that was a fly ass jacket, aka my grandma's blazer, but I look damn good in it. If you guys know me, I like the throwback look there, okay? So he complimented my jacket, and then he asked me a question. He asked if I'm on Medicaid, and he asked if I get food stamps. I'm like, no, like, bitch, why you assuming that? 'Cause I'm black. But no, he was like, oh, you want a free phone? I'm like, not really. I got a phone, like, but I guess he pulled me in, and then they're like, oh, we just need to see an ID to see if we could get you a phone. But I'm not on none of that shit. Like, and I'm not being bougie for those of you who are on it. It is what it is. It's just that I'm under my parents' shit. I'm under 26, so I don't get that. I just got out of college. Like, I never got food stamps in college either, even though I should have tapped in on that. Still a dependent, so I really don't even file taxes like that.
but maybe I should this year. I was a dependent at the time, and obviously I didn't qualify for a free phone because I'm not on none of that shit. So I'm just like, oof, must suck to be out here with a table selling these phones. You know, I would hate to do that. So I walk back home, whatever. I'm like, oh, I think the interview went pretty well. It's fine. It was chill. Get the call back. Walking back, they're like, oh, you got the job. I'm like, oh my God, that's great. Come in on Monday. Came in on Monday to do some onboarding or some paperwork or some tablet work, actually. So I do the onboarding and, you know, get signed up. And then I see the name. I see that name of the phone company that the guy was trying to get me to get the other day at the stand. And I'm like, yo, please don't tell me I'm going to be doing that. And sure enough it was. And that was God giving me a sign. Bitch, you better turn around. But of course, I didn't listen because I am a very delusional young lady, as you guys may know. So I didn't listen and I just went along with it. And then lo and behold, I was the one that was going to be selling these government phones, asking people if they was on food stamps, Medicaid, whatever, doing that. So I was doing that for those months. I was telling you about how I didn't like the job. That's what I was doing. And I was all across Chicago, and I was in these rough neighborhoods trying to sell these phones, you know, and doing that. And I had to reach a certain quota, and the money was shit. Like, being on the bottom pyramid is shit. You know, the money was pretty bad. So ideally, I would try to sell, you would have to do 8 phones a day. And you would give away free phones, of course, because like they advertise free phones. But it's really phones with no monthly bill. And some phones are free. The free phones are completely shit. Like, it's by the motherfucking government. They run like Joe Biden. Like, y'all see how slow Joe Biden is, how Joe Biden acts slow, and he forgets his words sometimes. That's how the government phones are, you know. They're ass. You should know. Then you have the phones that you could get with a little better quality, and they were a decent deal. No monthly bill, $40, $50, $60. You get these phones, smartphones, unlimited internet, high-speed data. You get unlimited calls, texts, you get, T-Mobile service, you know, you get all of that, and it's a good deal, like, not gonna lie, but selling to people who have nothing in certain communities, are you actually gonna meet that quota? And that kind of actually woke me up, because, I don't know, I always knew that people were broke. But even those people that get monthly SSI checks to cover some bills and whatnot, they have certain priorities, and trying to explain that to them, trying to explain value over price is going to be hard in certain communities. And I'm just going to be completely honest with you. I'm going to be 100% honest because that's why I'm here. But I'm also not here to name drop. But I'm also here to be racist because I am racist. I find it when I was in the black communities, and those of you who are in the Chicagoland area know, I'm mostly on the south side, selling these phones and explaining the value of these phones to these people, and they're like, $40. I said, yeah, but there's no monthly bill compared to having a phone that you're paying off. You're paying off the service. You're probably like paying it off in installment payments to actually pay off the physical phone. And you're having no monthly bill for this phone, and you have unlimited everything, talk, text, data, and you get T-Mobile service. And they are, you know, they're like, what? But you said it was free. I said, no, I said free monthly service, you know. And then sometimes they get mad. Sometimes they get angry with the pitchforks out or whatever. And they're like, no. And then they may pull out this iPhone that they can't fucking afford. They're paying that shit. They're late on the bill every month. because they can't afford it. And they're justifying that because it's an iPhone. And you really see, like, they're complaining about this amount, you know, and they're complaining about this amount here because they're used to getting everything free. And this is not me breaking out into being a Republican or anything, but I'm saying, yeah, you get free healthcare service, you get free food, you get free Section 8 housing, you get all of that free, and you want everything in this world to be free. And that is the unfortunate mindset of a lot of those communities. And there are people who truly need it. There are people that truly need it. And I see people who don't actually need it, who are abusing the system. And it's really unfortunate. And that's what I really got exposed to, selling these phones. And, you know, it wasn't the best experience. And like I said, there are good people in those communities. But, you know, a lot of the time, I would be with a lot of bad people. When I told them the phone was $40 for the better phone, they would get to yelling at me or get to wanting to fight me, or they thought I was a different company. They would try to demand their money back, and I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, you know, they think I'm every other black girl. Like, I know I look like 58% of all the other black girls, but I'm not. I'm different. I'm Frenice, you know? It would just be a lot of situations, a lot of sexual harassment going on too in those areas. And I would be stuck in certain situations where the guys would be trying to meet their quota. Everyone's trying to meet a quota so they can make a fucking check. You know, you gotta make a check. So you'll be out there, and I would literally be getting sexually harassed. Like, guys would say the most ridiculous shit to me. Guys would try to touch me. Guys would ask me out. And literally the most offensive thing. And then the guys would be there, my coworkers, just laugh it off or whatever, just because they're trying to play nice just so they can get the sale. And I shouldn't have to take that. I shouldn't have to be the bait just for a lousy ass paycheck. And you're wondering, oh, for these, how much did you specifically get paid? Mind your business. No, actually, I'm going to tell you. So the quota was, try to give out five of the free phones, and then three of the paid services phones. And that's just, you know, the minimum to make decent. I'm putting up air quotes because it's not decent, quote unquote, check. And you would do that 6 days a week. If it took more than 8 hours, you would be there out late, you know. So with the eight phones, if you even made that, that would be $135 a day. $135 a day. Multiply that times six. God damn it. I can't do math anymore. How much is that? I'm sorry, guys. I'm whipping out the calculator. Like I said, this is a very interactive podcast. So that's what we're doing here. And for those of you that are like, I've been figured it out. Shut the fuck up. Nobody asked you. Come on. $810, but let's look at this damn fucking Chicago tax. Chicago taxes you for breathing. Like, what the fuck? Tax would be like 28%. Let's just be honest. 28% taxes. That's how you getting $226 deducted from that. And then keep in mind, my checks will always be off without explanation, even when I did the tax deduction, you know, the max tax deduction. So it was some shadiness going on there. You have to actually, you know, you would sell the shit, you would have to report the shit, you know, and the checks would just always be off. And so like, what's the point of doing a job if you're not getting paid properly? Also, there are some scams that do go on, because I did mention, you got to be on food stamps, Medicaid, be low income, whatever, be on Section 8 housing, okay, but there are some people, they do need the assistance. There are some people, they don't have papers, okay, and we know this specific group of people, mostly, we're on the south side of Chicago, okay, the Hispanic people wouldn't have any papers, but they would need a phone, you know, because they couldn't get one through the store. They don't have a car. They don't have identification. So technically, they wouldn't be able to qualify for a phone. So what these people would do is, yes, I'm exposing them. I don't care. They would take someone's information from their ID. If someone says, oh, I don't want the phone, they would have their information. They would submit it, put a phone in their name, and then they would sell the phone for spiked up prices to these illegal immigrants. And that was really fucked up. Like, they would sell a free government phone for $100 to these immigrants. And that I could not sit there and watch that. And I'm just talking to this guy. Like, I'm communicating to them through Google Translate, trying to understand them, and now just see them scam them. Like, and that was just so much to see. That is just so down and dirty. And when I saw other companies do it, I was surprised. Like I thought we were the purest of the pure, because they're like, oh, the boss said don't do that. We don't do that. Whatever, these other companies do that. Until I worked with this one guy, and he did it, and he would do that all the time and spike up these prices and sell these phones to people in the different names and just not give a fuck, you know. Who he took that phone from, because he's selling to these people. And I'm like, that's when I'm like, I need to get out of here. It's not worth the money. It's not worth the fucking time working 6 days a week for this shit, being in, getting sexually harassed every fucking day by these bums, you know? Like, okay, so I'm sorry, these fucking bums blew me every day. Why would I, you know, go out with you? You ain't got no damn job. Like, I'm confused, and you want me to pay for everything, you dumbass. I'm not gonna go out with you if you got a government phone. Like, make it make sense, guys. Make it make sense. But I would have to deal with that. It's not worth the time. It's not worth the money. It's not worth the pyramid. And yeah, but like I said, there were different things they sold within the office. Some of them sold did the charity. They would have to get a certain amount of people. That would only be, you know, you get 3 people or 2 people a day, and then you would be able to make that quota. You get $130 if you pull people to do monthly donations. 2 rich people to do monthly donations. You do that every single day to make a paycheck of $810 minus this high-ass Chicago tax and unexplained taxes that come out of your check, and you're confused on where they come from. And yeah, so you're going to be at the bottom for a while. You're going to be at the bottom of that fat ass pyramid for a little bit. And that's my pyramid experience. Pyramid scheme experience. MLM experience. And it's just not it. And I was just not having it. And at some point, I just got tired. I didn't give up. When I lose interest, you know I'm losing interest. Like, because when I want something, I'm going to give it. I'm going to put it all in, you know. But with that, you can see how I lost interest. You can see why I'm like, they're like, you're not hitting these goals. What's going on? Like, you need to do this. You need to do that, you know. And not saying that it's impossible to hit those goals every day. Just the amount of work you have to put in, it's not worth the payout you get for it, if that makes any sense. And they're like, oh, Fernice, you're not energetic enough. Fernice, you're not doing that. Meh. Yeah, then like, no, like, I'm saying the exact same thing you're saying. I'm putting on that fake little schemey sales voice you got. I'm like, I'm not gonna repeat this damn pitch to you again. I'm not gonna do that shit. I'm not doing it. And I'm just over it. And I left. And I left the damn pyramid. Okay. Now, like I mentioned before, I feel like jobs need to be more transparent. They need to be more transparent and clear on what this role exactly is, because they will not tell you on this job board website. They will use these words to make it seem like you're doing something fancy downtown. In reality, you're not downtown. You're not downtown. You're doing the footwork. You're doing the foot soldiers work to maybe possibly get up to that managerial position where you're making that $150,000, $200,000 a year. Maybe, possibly. And is it worth the actual thing that you're doing? All right? So don't let that shit trip you out. And know a lot of these jobs that are going to contact you fast, that's what they are. They're MLMs. multi-level marketing schemes. So keep an eye out for that. It's so many of them. And they choose a fancy-ass name to make it seem like there's some fancy company like Goldman Sachs. This ain't motherfucking Goldman Sachs. This is the ghetto. This is Southside 63rd selling phones. Let's just be serious. And then I would just like to relate it all to just the concept of the pyramid scheme. Now, I named this episode King Tut, okay? And y'all know who motherfucking King Tut is? Well, I'm gonna be honest. I don't know who King Tut is, but I have an idea of who he is. Alright, so we gonna go into a little about King Tut. Now, King Tut, he was born 1342 BC, and he died 13... I'm confused. I don't know the concept of time. BC is before Christ. Okay. 1342 BC, and he died 1324 BC. Sorry, my Bella Thorne is kicking in. I forgot they go down because, you know, you get to zero and then that's, you know, after Christ. Yeah, shut the fuck up. I know. AD, yeah. Okay. So he died pretty young. But he's a king. He got a tomb. He was a king in motherfucking Egypt. So King Tut. So Tut is short for Tutankhamun. You know, I don't know how to pronounce that shit. But somebody will. So it's, well, Tut is not his full name. It's Tutankhamun. Okay, don't cancel me, Egyptians. Okay, so let's just learn why he was so special. Just know he was a king in ancient Egypt, okay, guys? Now, so he was famous. He was unknown in the world until 1922 when his tomb was discovered by Howard Carter. His tomb contained thousands of artifacts and sacral figures containing his mummy and now famous headdress. So he's a famous king, guys. So King Tut, he was getting that bread. He only died when he was 18. He was discovered in 1922. That's crazy. And all that shit was in there. That's so great. Imagine being a historian and finding that. That is great. So his death marked the cessation of the dynasty's royal line. He ascended to the throne around the age of 9 and reigned until his death around the age of 19. Oh my God. Like, imagine being king when you 9. Like that shit is raw as fuck. Like, but yeah, that's a little about King Tut. Let's see why he was erased from history. Again, guys, this right here is an interactive podcast. So, I'm being interactive. I'm learning this information along with you guys. Others suggest that Tut's successors removed his name from monuments and records because of his association with the technicians use state-of-the-art equipment to scan the wall of King Tut's burial chamber. Oh, wow. So, like, lots of people with long names. Yes, they have long ass names, okay? So, you know, it is Women's History Month, obviously. So let's get in a queen, an ancient queen. Let's do Cleopatra because we love her. I know y'all was over here saying she was a queen of Egypt. So many movies about her and so many rumors. Like, I'm hearing rumors like she was ugly. Y'all bogus for talking about folks who were dead. Like, yo, like, she was ugly whole time. Like, but anyway, she was born January 69 BC. Ooh, what a great year. And she died 30 BC. She was around 39 years old. And what's she famous for? What is this girl famous for? Cleopatra actively influenced Roman politics at a crucial period and was especially known for her relationship with Julius Caesar and Mark Antony. She came to represent and did know other women in antiquity in The Prototype of Romantic Femme Fatale. Okay, wow. Okay, Cleopatra. So she's over here. This was the original Hillary Clinton and shit, okay? This was the original Hillary Clinton. And she over here having a romantic relationship with Julius Caesar. They stabbed that motherfucker up. You know, hope he's doing fine there in the grave. All right. So many movies about Cleopatra and whatnot. And I just wanted to throw her in there because, you know, it is Women's History Month. So now you know about Cleopatra there. But anyway, I talk about these people because these are people at the tippy top of the period. A pyramid, not period. Well, it is Women's History Month, period. Yes, period. So the tippy top of the pyramid. But did you see those people building the pyramids? You see those ancient Egyptians with those damn bricks on their back trying to build up this tomb for them and whatnot? And yeah, that doesn't get highlighted enough. These slaves over here doing all that stuff. That's what being at the bottom of that pyramid, the bottom of that MLM feels. You know, you're there, you're carrying up those bricks, you breaking your back. And is it worth the money? Well, they probably weren't getting money. They were probably getting a slice of bread. But you know, that's besides the point. That's exactly how it is to an extreme. Do you think any of those people who were carrying up those damn bricks to build the pyramid, do you think they were actually ever, you know, king or queens? Or did they ever have the chance to be kings or queens? No. I'm going to answer the question for you. No. They were not. They died at the bottom of that damn pyramid. Obviously, now in this time, in 2024... AD, we have the opportunity to make a choice, and we don't have to be the ones carrying up the bricks. And you can relate bricks back to drugs, because those people selling those bricks, those foot soldiers, the ones that get caught and they don't snitch on the people on the tippity top, they just do that time, not get paid much. Again, bricks and bricks. Like, there's a lot of, you know, correlations here, and things have their names for a reason. So you got to see, when you're being thrown out all this knowledge, I mean, not knowledge, information, because it's not knowledge, it's bullshit. When all this bullshit is getting, you know, thrown out at you, and you're like, oh, Frenice was wrong about these MLMs. I can make 150K to 200K a year. No, bitch. No. I'm sorry. You're not going to make 200K a year off of Avon products. Like, I'm sorry. You're not. You're not. Just, you're not. I'm sorry to wake you up there. It's just not. And like I said, these people like to highlight the top, but they're not going to highlight the you know, latter part of that. What's that? The down part? What's that? The fat ass bottom part of that pyramid? And that's you struggling. That's you making these low wages. And that's those people who are celebrating, who are going to these clubs. They're going to town every weekend, like, woo. And then what are you doing? Struggling to pay your bills? Making an inconsistent paycheck, selling these whatever's outside, stressing out, bugging out, trying to get these people. You can't control foot traffic at all once you know selling out here. You can't control those times of year where there's less people outside. You really can't control those certain things, and you're out here busting your ass. You know, yeah, congratulations. You made an $810 paycheck while these people at the tippy top partying it up and not being direct about the exact business practices that are happening behind closed doors and how much of a cut they are actually getting. So before they spew out all this bullshit, know that. And also, again, the transparency. We have the choice. We have the choice to be involved in this. Like, realistically, these jobs are looked down upon, but, like, working at fucking fast food restaurant, you could be a server, you could be a waitress, be all that. And you will make more money than doing this pyramid scheme. And they only make it seem like you don't, because you're working hourly. There's a set amount, whatever, you get tips, whatever, versus, oh, but you could make this amount. That's, again, manipulation. Don't listen to that. Don't listen to that. Guys, don't listen to that shit. I just want you to know. So I just want you to know. You're going to be thinking, just imagine yourself bringing up those damn bricks on your back to build the damn pyramid for the people at the tippity top of the pyramid. And I'm going to change over the screen because Cleopatra's face is kind of scaring me and I have nightmares. So let's not think about that at this moment. But again, I want you guys to be wary of the pyramid. Don't listen to these manipulation tactics. Look more deeply into these job offers on Indeed, the people that send you a text message right away, those weird job interviews, making you seem like you're special. Like, yeah, you know you're that bitch, but you don't know that you're that bitch. I don't know if you're that bitch, but just be wary of that. Make sure to be direct because, if you ask direct questions like, hey, is this an MLM? Hey, is this direct marketing? Hey, is this position commission only? Do that the first round interviews. Get it out of the way. Knock it out of the way. And then they won't lie to you then. Like, hey, what am I selling? It's that. If it's anything like, oh, we're selling phones on behalf of Verizon. No. Leave. Pack your bags and run. Pack your bags like SpongeBob and Patrick did when they stole that motherfucking balloon on Free Balloon Day. I want you to get out that jam. Please do. All right, guys? That's all I have for you today. This special 61st episode of Event to Fan, King Tut. All right? Thank you so very much for listening. I love all of you guys. Most of you. All right. That is all for today's episode, folks. Thank you so very much for listening. I obviously upload when I upload, trying to keep it more consistent. So just be happy when I do spew out some information to you guys. Now, if you do want to get in contact with me, any questions, any advice, any harassment you want to do, I do have an Instagram. And that Instagram is at FranesDaBeast. And if you need me to spell that out, that is FranesDaBeast. Obviously, I can't spell, but you'll find the username there. I'm the only one available to you. Now, again, I'd like to thank you all for listening to me rant and, do that or drink my large gallon of water. And again, thank you so much for listening, keeping an open mind, and sitting here enjoying the ride. Appreciate all you guys, but most importantly, always be prepared to offend. Thank you and have a great day, year, time period, 14 AD, 30 AD, whenever you're listening. See ya.